Chapter 25. A few rough chairs and a table, a corner cupboard with their little stock of crockery and delf, a gaudy tea tray, representing a lady in bright red, walking out with a very blue parasol, a few common, colored scripture subjects in frames upon the wall and chimney, an old dwarf clothes press and an 8-day clock, with a few bright saucepans and a kettle, comprised the whole. But everything was clean and neat, and as the child glanced round, she felt a tranquil air of comfort and content to which she had long been unaccustomed. How far is it to any town or village? She asked of the husband. A matter of good 5 mile, my dear, was the reply, but you're not going on tonight? Yes, Nell, said the old man hastily, urging her to by signs. Further on, darling, further away if we walk till midnight. There's a good barn hard by, master, said the man, or there's traveler's lodging, I know, at the Plough and Arbor. Excuse me, but you do seem a little tired, and unless you're very anxious to get on, yes, we are, returned the old man fretfully. Further away, dear Nell, pray further away. We must go on, indeed, said the child, yielding to his restless wish. We thank you very much, but we cannot stop so soon. I'm quite ready, grandfather. But the woman had observed, from the young wanderer's gait, that one of her little feet was blistered and sore, and being a woman and a mother too, she would not suffer her to go until she had washed the place, and applied some simple remedy, which she did so carefully, and with such a gentle hand, rough grained and hard though it was, with work that the child's heart was too full to admit of her saying more than a fervent God bless you. Nor could she look back, nor trust herself to speak, until they had left the cottage some distance behind. When she turned her head, she saw that the whole family, even the old grandfather, were standing in the road watching them as they went, and so, with many waves of the hand, and cheering nods, and on one side at least not without tears, they parted company. They trudged forward, more slowly and painfully than they had done yet, for another mile or thereabouts, when they heard the sound of wheels behind them, and looking round observed an empty cart approaching pretty briskly. The driver on coming up to them stopped his horse and looked earnestly at Nell. "Didn't you stop to rest at a cottage yonder?" he said. "Yes, sir," replied the child. "Ah. They asked me to look out for you," said the man. "I'm going your way. Give me your hand, jump up, master." This was a great relief, for they were very much fatigued, and could scarcely crawl along. To them the jolting cart was a luxurious carriage, and the ride the most delicious in the world. Nell had scarcely settled herself on a little heap of straw in one corner, when she fell asleep, for the first time that day. She was awakened by the stopping of the cart, which was about to turn up a by-lane. The driver kindly got down to help her out, and pointing to some trees at a very short distance before them, said that the town lay there, and that they had better take the path which they would see leading through the churchyard. Accordingly, towards this spot, they directed their weary steps. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.